Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yes, everybody, welcome.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Back to another episode of The Warm Down. Today, delighted to be joined by Sam Pilger, Manchester United fan and author of a handful of different books, right, for 442, The Athletic, now currently at Forbes. Wouldn't have thought Forbes was the kind of gaff that really covered much United. How are you doing, Sam?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, I've been writing for Forbes since the end of about a month before Mourinho got sacked. And yeah, no, it's a great, it's funny in this global world. Yeah, I do, you know, obviously Bleacher Report started as an American one, Athletic, Forbes, Optus in Australia. So yeah, it's quite a global world now. It doesn't matter where you publish, everyone gets to see it.
Are you working on any books at the moment?
I am writing. I'm ghosting a book with a United legend. In fact, his autobiography. But that's had several delays as he keeps getting jobs. So you can possibly guess who it is, but yeah. I'm writing that at the moment, but yeah, hoping to get going with that again.
I don't know what you mean there. Which era?
90s.
Don't really narrow it down. Cool. right then, so there's a couple of articles that I did want to talk to you about. One of them was Anthony Martial as United's player of the season. But before we talk on that, we can talk generally about the season, actually, because I think it's been an accomplishment from Solskjaer to get United into third. I think this is one of the worst squads we had going into this season. And Solskjaer, in the course of the season, has changed the makeup of this squad. If you look at the players that he's let go, I think the average age is probably 30, 31 for, you know, the likes. You've seen Chris Smalling, Sanchez, Ashley Young, all of those are at the upper profile, and what he's brought in is a young team. What we've seen, certainly in lockdown or post-lockdown, is a very good starting 11, which you mentioned in the article, but a lack of depth. Give us your thoughts on that.
I mean, if you look at the forward line, the drop-off is just something incredible, really. I mean, if you look at from Greenwood, Martial and Rashford to what would it be, James, Mata, Ighalo, who's obviously only there till the end of the year. I mean, that is a hell of a drop-off. You know, if you think of United teams we've known where you had York, Cole, Sheringham, Solskjaer, Blomqvist coming in for Giggs and you know, Nicky Butt for Scholes and Keane. Obviously, I'm talking about the treble squad, but, you know, that's where United have got to aspire to get back to.
Well, that's a benchmark, isn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the drop-off is just incredible. I mean, I know in the final games, you know, it kind of worked bringing on Lingard, and obviously he scored, but, you know, that was still, to shore up a side and be a bit defensive, hold on to what United had. But, yeah, the drop-off is quite incredible. I mean, it's a starting 11 that probably is the third best starting 11 in the country. But a squad, it drops off incredibly, really. And, you know, if you think of things like centre-backs, really, I mean, I think, you know, Solskjaer, there's about six of them. But, you know, I would argue there's probably only one Harry Maguire that's absolutely good enough. There's a huge amount to do. And Solskjaer knows that now we're getting into the Champions League. You can play youngsters or squad players in early rounds of the Europa League. You can't do that in the Champions League. So there's going to have to be far more investment this summer.
Do you think with what we saw, let's say pre-Christmas, where it was patchy form, we had no Pogba, Martial was out for a little bit, Rashford had to carry the team for large parts in that area. With what we saw in the squad there, we had Andreas Pereira would feature almost weekly, never be dropped. McTominay, Fred. And Fred started the season pretty ordinary, but around Christmas time, he sort of picked up and became quite a valuable player. What do you think led him to be looking on the outside now looking in, do you think?
Is that Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting, actually, because I mean, you talk about my columns. I mean, during lockdown, I wrote a feature saying that I thought Aaron Wan-Bissaka was the player of the year so far when football stopped. And I did a little poll, and Fred came second in it. And the transformation in United as a sort of solid, decent top six team, you know, had players like Fred, McTominay, Wan-Bissaka as players of the year. Now you step forward to the end of the season, the debate is Martial, Rashford, Greenwood, Fernandes. So that shows United's gone from a sort of dour team grinding out results with the odd bit of flair to an exciting team. And you know, someone like Fred, who a good portion of people thought was the player of the year up till March, isn't getting into the team. So that, you know, that does show the progress to a certain extent.
Why do you think he's been pushed out of the team the way he has, or seemingly isn't trusted even to really come off the bench anymore?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think he'd overseen a fantastic transformation, really, in from the player that people are thinking, who the hell signed off on 50 million for him, to, you know, a really good player. I mean, he showed that against PSG last year. That's probably his best performance. And then he brought that slowly into this year. It's a good sign, though. I remember when Ander Herrera was, I think, 2017 Player of the Year. And then the beginning of the following year, he couldn't get into the side. So that's only a good sign. In terms of Fred, I suppose, you know, Pogba coming back and Matic's revival, which is another storyline, really. I mean, my understanding was he was all set to be sold in January, really. United want to move him on. His contract was being wound down. It's probably been forgotten now that he liked a tweet or an Instagram post saying Mourinho should take him to Tottenham. He actually liked that. So he thought he was on the way. United thought he was on the way. So it shows with a bit of faith what can be done. Whether, you know, he deserves 3 years, and whether he can perform that role for the next couple of years is up for debate. But I mean, it certainly played a huge role in the season's revival.
With that revival of Matic and with Solskjaer not being scared to turn to the youngsters, I mean, I'll probably touch on this better, but I think Greenwood's transformation from academy prospect to first team player has been flawlessly managed. But with the way he's brought him in, the way he's brought Williams in, the way he's trusted some of the other academy lads, when we look at the lack of depth, the answer seems always to turn to the transfer market. Do you think there's people in the squad that can step up? Do you think there's people that he could look to further down in the academy, or that he will look down to further in the academy? Do you think there's any of the lads that have been out on loan, maybe Smalling, someone like that, that could win back their place? Or do you think it is going to have to be a transfer market thing?
I think there's going to have to be a balance, because clearly, you know, you can't buy 8 to 10 players. That's not going to happen. You can't shift players as well. I mean, you know, someone like Rojo on 150,000 plus a week. I mean, that's just ridiculous. He's not going anywhere. No one's going to pay that. Hopefully something can be done with Sanchez. Smalling, you know, doesn't want to come back and be a backup. I think there's a problem. You know, you don't always get what you want as a manager. And I think there are players that can't be moved because they're earning too much. It's just difficult to sell. You know, if he could, you know, bandish a magic wand, he would get rid of Sanchez and Smalling and Phil Jones and Dalot and players of that ilk. But that's not going to happen. You can't have a limitless player's wage bill. So it is really difficult, you know. I mean, they were absolutely delighted to get Lukaku off the wage bill and recoup some money. That was an achievement. They played hardball with Inter Milan. They're going to have to do that a few times this summer. But I think with the result at Leicester, it's clear, you know, if you thought it was three or four players, it needs to be five or six. But, you know, with the season starting in 6 weeks' time, it's going to be really, really difficult. And, you know, other things like, you know, other factors like Jack Grealish, you know, they thought, oh, that, you know, Villa get relegated, desperate for money. That's 40 million possibly. And, you know, and now Villa are like, hang on, we're sticking around. We want 80 million. So even that they thought would be doable. So there's so many variables. It's going to be difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder with the introduction of the likes of Laird and Mengi to the first team training squad, if that was just for an eye on the last game, or if that actually was an eye on them being major parts of the first team going forward. From some of the lads I chat to at the club, I think Ethan's held in enormous regard by people, and I think he could really push for backup left or right back, actually. I think he'd be a fantastic option if they choose to keep him rather than going on loan. With having the likes of Phil Jones and Rojo and Smalling and Bailly and all of these centre-halves that aren't really in favour, Mengi's a hell of a prospect. Do you think he's got a chance at doing what Williams did, doing what Greenwood's done this season and making himself part of that first team setup?
I think possibly. I think the plan, and you know, they don't always go to plan, is to replicate this season where it was Greenwood and Williams really came through, established them as first teamers, you know, started many of the last games of the season. So I think that they want to do that. You know, obviously it's the club's DNA and Solskjaer likes to do that and has been good to that, you know, and that's almost when somebody like Gomez doesn't get his chance, you think, well, this is a manager who believes in youth and wants to do it. Really, you know, he didn't get any chances even early in the season. So I think he'll certainly, I mean, the one as well is Twan Zebe, really. You know, he's kind of got a bit forgotten, but I think he's, you know, a hell of a talent, very exciting player. You know, just been really unlucky for injuries, because this was a season he could have broken through. You know, he's still young, but you know, everybody at the club has always rated him, and hopefully, you know, he can overcome the injuries and come back.
Yeah, I think Axel's just got, he's got to end up being one of those Will Keane sort of scenarios where the prospect was always there, but you never get enough games. I mean, obviously he had a fantastic season on loan at Villa where he was largely injury free. You need to have more seasons like that and be dependable. I think Ethan Laird was hovering on the precipice of having a similar sort of scenario. If it wasn't for injuries, I think he would probably have debuted before Brandon, even this season. So it's going to be interesting to see what does happen with Axel, because again, I can't imagine the club are desperate to get rid of him. I don't imagine he's on a prohibitive wage for the club to just keep him around, but he is going to have to start being available for games, I'm sure. The forward line then, we saw Lukaku go, we saw Sanchez go, and I remember sitting here at the start of the season saying we're going to need record-breaking individual seasons from Tony, from Marcus, and I didn't expect Greenwood to chip in with more than half a dozen, if I'm being honest, even though I rate him extremely highly. How much credit does Solskjaer get for the improvement in that forward line's goal return?
Oh, hugely. And I have to say, I was a voice last summer too. I thought selling Lukaku without replacement was reckless. I thought I suppose it was acknowledged as a mistake because they brought in Ighalo in January to bulk up the squad. But yeah, I thought, you know, to bank 70 million and not replace Lukaku was a huge mistake. You know, and I think Solskjaer with Greenwood getting, what was it, 17, 18 goals would feel vindicated, really. And I think, you know,
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
He'd mentioned it at the time, really, but it's difficult with a player so young to think seriously. But he wanted to clear the path for Greenwood. He did that with withdrawing Lukaku. And, you know, I think he can feel a huge sense of, of satisfaction, really. I mean, you know, one thing Solskjaer certainly knows about is strikers and how to score goals and how to notice a natural scorer. You know, he's lucky to inherit Greenwood, but he treated him brilliantly. Same with Martial, really. I mean, you know, I think one of the reasons Mourinho was sacked is because the club had faith in Pogba and Martial, and Mourinho wanted to sell both. You know, certainly Martial in the summer before, when the club overruled him, and again that has been, you know, spectacularly vindicated. You know, Martial would have gone on to be another Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, wasted talent under Mourinho. I mean, in one way it certainly has come together. You know, I think they're the you know, I know these comparisons are silly, but they've scored more goals than Salah, Mane and Firmino together. You know, when you compare it to such a great team as Liverpool, that's not bad in a struggling season where Greenwood hasn't started many games, Martial's been injured and Rashford's been injured. If they'd all been fit and firing all year, I mean, you wonder what they could have done. So you know, that's really exciting, but the problem is, you know, there's very little there. That is why clearly they're going all out for Sancho, and still optimistic that will happen, because I mean, there was, you know, strange voices who popped up when Greenwood started scoring. Oh, do United really need Sancho? Well, of course they do, because, you know, great sides need to rotate, and also Greenwood, you know, he's still so young. You'd expect a dip in form. You'd expect, you know, some teething problems. However great he is, that happens to all young players. I mean, it's all systems go with Sancho. That was the huge thing with, obviously, Champions League qualification. I mean, I understand there was a chance it could have happened last year, but as soon as United didn't get in Champions League, that was it. You know, he enjoys playing at Dortmund. He wasn't going to come back for Europa League, but that's now no longer an obstacle.
The improvement in all of them is mad. I do generally think without the injuries, at least one of them probably would have ended up with 30 goals. And actually, there's still enough games left in the season, technically, I guess, although I'm not expecting to see Martial and Rashford played every single game to the end of the season. If they were, I do think one of them could hit 30 goals, especially having another free hit with Lask. You'd expect that we're probably going to put, if we put out a strong team, we'd put a few past them. I don't think we're going to do that, and I think we'll probably just get through the tie somehow, possibly even losing, but winning the tie. I think the forward line, I don't really understand the argument with people saying, oh, don't bother with Sancho because we've now got Greenwood. When, what was it, a couple of games ago that we broke the record for the most consecutive same starting 11s since 1993, and it was only like, was it five or six?
That long, wow.
So, you know, it's not a crazy number of games in a row. It's not like we played the same starting 11 30 times. It's literally half a dozen, and it's the first time it's been done in 27 years. That tells me that you have to rotate. There has to be 14, 15 first choice players, because you're gonna encounter injuries and you're gonna encounter the tiredness that we've found now. And I think that's one thing that Liverpool and Manchester City both had. Liverpool at Old Trafford went on and managed to get a point out of that game, which I don't think they deserved, because they swapped out their entire midfield in the middle of the game and changed their focus. United just don't have the ability to do that. If we did, I mean, obviously we went for Sancho last year, but we also went for Haaland in January. If we fast-forwarded 12 months and said, right, well, now United have got Haaland, Sancho, Greenwood, Rashford, and Tony Marshall, you've got to assume that would be a formidable forward five, and you can even throw Dan James in or Chong in as the sixth man in that, as a perfectly viable rotational option. I think that would be... Do you think that's where Solskjaer's heading, or in his head he wants to head?
Well, I mean, certainly he's not silly. He knows the drop-off, you know, as mentioned, is huge. I mean, how much has James, Mata, Igalo featured since Reid's start? He's had to stick with his 11 and trust in them, even when they were getting tired. You know, I mean, Fernandes, ironically, last two games I thought he was dreadful against Leicester and West Ham. It was less like unrecognisable. So, but you know, you had to sort of flog him. It was so close to the end of the season, and of course, you know, he stood up and slotted away the penalty, which is probably the most important thing he did. But yeah, I mean, they were out on their feet, but he just looked around at the bench and couldn't trust anybody really. And he knows he needs some proper backup. But, you know, that's why, you know, that they have gone, you know, they went for Haaland. Obviously, they went for Bellingham as well, which is more of an attacking midfielder. So that, you know, there's no doubt about it. He knows he needs to strengthen that area of the team. You know, there's also still a doubt over Pogba. So, you know, if he was to go, I don't think he will. I think the way the season's ended couldn't have been a better way to keep him. He's happy playing well. United are in the Champions League. It seems to be an enjoyable team for him. So, you know, and the fact that, you know, clubs wouldn't afford what United would demand for him now. So I don't know about a new contract. I think the club possibly would like to do that, probably still a bit early. Yeah, I mean, that needs to be... I mean, the talk is a right winger, which is obviously Sancho, and an attacking midfielder. You know, I think in terms of you know, bolstering the squad, the big one for me is a centre-half. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I just can't quite get behind Victor Lindelof, you know. Having seen, you know, Steve Bruce, Gary Pallister, Paul McGrath when I was younger, you know, Vidic Ferdinand. We have high standards as United fans. And clearly, we've got to stick with Harry Maguire for 80 million. And I think, there is a very, very good player there. But I can't... you know, Lindelof actually had a good game against Leicester, and he's capable of about...
I thought it was one of the match against Leicester, actually. I think the both of them have had... And I don't know whether to put this down to tiredness, fatigue. Obviously, Maguire's been playing with an injury, supposedly. I don't know whether to put all of that down, the mistakes that we've seen, down to that, or at least a factor in that, or, you know, with the midfield's fatigued and it's not put that extra 1% in to help screen. But there's been a couple of... A lot of the goals we've conceded and a lot of the mistakes that we've made, they're almost like a chain of mistakes. You're like, they start somewhere up the pitch where someone does something wrong, and then it doesn't get rectified at the next line, and it doesn't get rectified at the next line, and then it comes to the defender who doesn't rectify it, and then it's shot straight at De Gea, who tumbles it into his net, and you're like, one of you, just one of you does your job here, and that doesn't happen. It's just an absolute comedy of errors. So I'm jury's out on... I think Maguire started off ordinary. I don't think he was bad. I think he started off ordinary. I think he elevated his performances once he got the armband, which was strange. And then post-lockdown, supposedly he'd been playing with injections, so I can give him the benefit of the doubt with that. But I don't think he's been reliable since then. And Lindelof just has this tendency, which I don't think many people pick up on, of flying out of the line and leaving the rest of the defence exposed. So even if they might pass it round him, so he's not the one that immediately looks like he's in the wrong, or he's not the one that misses an obvious challenge, but his positioning in the build-up to the mistake is, for me, quite often culpable. And it was one of the things that Rio Ferdinand was just flawless at, and Carrick was flawless at. He was just always in the right spot. He was adjusting their position by an inch or two here and there to block and to cover lanes. And I think Victor Lindelof really struggles with that. I think he flies out of defence, and I think he covers in the channel fantastically. I think that when you put a ball in behind our defence, I think Victor Lindelof sweeps that up very nicely. I think he struggles in the air. But I agree with you. When the benchmark is Rio and Vidic, Stam and Johnson, I think Maguire and Lindelof are nowhere near that level.
No, absolutely. And Solskjaer will know that. I mean, he played with both Stam and Johnson and even Henning Berg as a backup, but then later Vidic and Ferdinand. You know, he'll know deep down too. So, but you know,
Gaudier played with both sets, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So he sees that. Even played with. He arrived the summer Bruce left, but he even played with Gary Pallister for two seasons. So he'll know the standard for a Manchester United centre half, and in all my years of watching United, I obviously want players to succeed. I want to be proved wrong, even if I have my doubts, and that often happens. But with Lindelof, just something there. I think he's a very, very good defender, but is he a title-winning defender? I, I don't think so. I think he can be bullied. And I also think, you know, he lacks that presence and pace sometimes as well. And it, you know, it's slightly to Maguire's detriment that the talk is getting another centre half to make Maguire better. But, you know, this is a situation we're in. But I feel, you know, so the club will certainly buy a centre back. There's no doubt about that. But will it be an Ake, a cut price squad defence?
Is Ake possible? It seemed like he was sewn up at City.
Yeah, I mean, I know City are interested. I don't know if it's sewn up. I know, obviously, you know, yeah, I know United are interested. Obviously, Solskjaer let the cat out of the bag when United played Bournemouth and tried to.
What was that real, or is that Solskjaer just being polite, do you think?
To Ake?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that was real. I think players and managers are not used, we saw with Klopp and Lampard, are not used to this world of no crowd noise to block out so much. And, you know, I'm sure that happens all the time and does happen all the time. You know, a quick word in the ear. But Solskjaer, there's no crowd to block it out. So he was sort of caught out. And when he was asked about it, he said, oh, I don't know about that. I've got six central defenders. I'm very happy with them and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, people can see what he said. And, you know, I don't know if Ake's top of the list, but certainly he's on a list of players. I think, unfortunately, United probably need a defender in the 50, 60, 70 million pound bracket. Don't have the budget with Sancho and possibly Grealish and other players. And are hoping to, you know, get something that, you know, a rough diamond for 20, 30 million that can develop into something really at this stage. Maybe next summer, if that doesn't work out, they can upgrade even more. But I think, you know, if there's six central defenders and the only one you'd really hang your hat on is Maguire, then obviously, you know, obviously he's given up on Rojo, he's given up on Jones, Tuan Zebe, you can't, too young and inexperienced. I think, as we all do, I personally do, I know Solskjaer really likes Baye and would love for him to develop into the player he can be. And, you know, I've got a real soft spot for him. I've always thought he could really be a top centre-half. But again, just in and out, injuries, bit erratic. So he's not really...
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Really a player you can absolutely trust.
There was a period of time.
He talks about having six centre-halves, but you can...
There was a period of time where we played Rojo and Bay together and was like, this is never... Actually, it works really well. I don't know what happened, why they ended up being played together, but for a period of time, they both stayed injury-free. And yeah, they were both erratic and mega aggressive, but it did seem to work. It did seem to be quite effective. Yeah, I'm with you. I love a nutter. And I think Bay could be a great addition to the back line. But has he been available for like a quarter of his games in his time at United? It's just not good enough.
No. And it's that level of trust as well. And that's why Maguire and Lindelof get the nod, because they'll play for injuries. You know, they'll step up. They keep the fitness, the stamina. They play with injections, you know, so he's had to trust them. And, you know, United defences, I think, you know, I think especially with Wan-Bissaka, that has really, they've shored up the defence. And I think United conceded about 1.4 goals a game last year. This year it's about a goal a game, you know, so it's gone down by about 50%. It's been a huge progress, huge improvement. However, there is though still doubts because United are not a team that's going to be happy with third place. You look beyond that and you go, are these players going to take us to second and first? And that's the harsh questions. But you know, it's a process, and you know, you can't do everything at once.
Yeah. All right. And Tony Marshall. For me, I went with Bruno for player of the season because I think in terms of players that had impact, which really should be what the player of the season should be for me. I think Bruno's impact was so good and so effective. And I think I think our points per game pre and post Bruno is a bit laughable, actually. It's almost like two football teams. And yes, his introduction did increase the number of goals that we saw from the front line. I think his influence, for me, just tipped it over. But you're going with Tony Marshall, aren't you?
I did, yeah. I mean, I think Bruno Fernandes, I just found it difficult, like a player who'd been there, you know, not even half the season, from the end of January, not even the start of January. I found that hard. But, you know, if anyone's going to win a player of the year, having been there for half the season, it would be Fernandes. I mean, I personally don't think even the club expected that. You know, they were sort of irritated of the links with him last summer, he's on a long list. No, he's on our radar, but not really interested. And you know, it came to pass; it didn't happen. Tottenham were close. I mean, that would have been a huge loss. And so,
yeah, I got the same thing that for all the speculation, it was like, we're not in for him, whether he's good or not. We're not in for him. Was the answer.
No, that's right. And there was a huge campaign last summer, you know, sign Fernandes. And I was always being, you know, told, and no, not interested. Yeah, he's on a long list. Yeah, we've looked at him. No, not interested. And that was true, because they didn't sign him. So what changed was United had a dreadful start to the season and looked around and thought, how can we revive this? They went back to Fernandes. You know, there was a bit of briefing about what was it, you know, passing wasn't good enough, or some nonsense in the autumn, and then, you know, got the deal done. I mean, obviously, you look back. Well, it's funny. I was of the view that, you know, hang on, if you'd signed Fernandes last August, United would be locked into third. Well, you know, they finished there already anyway, so it didn't matter too much. He signed too late, but it wasn't too late. You know, Ferguson used that famous phrase about Cantona, called him the can opener. And it's the same with Fernandes. I mean, you know, it reminds me of Cantona's impact, of just being able to pick a pass, open things up, make players better players, forward-looking passes. And, you know, it's been an absolute privilege. And I do think the club have even been surprised. And I know that, you know, I've been hearing the players. I don't think many of them watch that much Portuguese football. Maybe had a look on YouTube a few times. And when Fernandes walked in, first couple of training sessions, they were like, oh, you know, we expect you to be good, but geez, not this good. And, you know, that's rolled out into matches. So that's been an absolute pressure. But yeah, I mean, I went with Martial as you know, my player of the year. And, you know, I've had a soft spot for him since he joined. And it's been an absolute pleasure. And as I said earlier, there was that fear that he wouldn't fulfil his potential at United, that Mourinho had lost patience with him, wanted to get rid of him. I mean, if we look back and remember, he was absolutely flying, and then United signed Sanchez, and strangely his form went to pot. But I just think he's a Manchester United player. He's exciting, he's direct, he's skillful, he's fast. And it's an absolute pleasure that you know, this has been his most successful season by far in terms of goals. 22 goals, obviously a few Europa League games left. And he's 24, and you know, there's a long time left. He links up well with Rashford. They get on. He's got a smile on his face. It's been a real pleasure to watch him this season.
22 goals, 9 assists, 31 goal contributions. Half a dozen or so games left. Where's he ended up?
Who's that, sorry?
Where's he ended up, Martial?
Where's he ending up? Oh, this season?
Yeah, 22 goals, 9 assists to his name right now.
Right. Well, yeah, you're right. He probably won't play against LASK, and then there's 3 more games. You know, what did he get? He got 6 goals in 9 games in the Premier League. I think there's a couple more goals for him there. Yeah, maybe one more assist and 2.
25 and 10? It's not a bad return, that, from a striker, is it?
No, that's absolutely. And he, you know, he missed some time with injury as well. So that'd be a fantastic return.
So he's your shout for, above anybody else, player of the season?
You know, I mean, I think Fernandes close. but we discussed sort of half a year. I mean, my player of the year before lockdown would have been Wan-Bissaka, you know, and you have to go some as a right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic, keep your eyes on the road, hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Back, you know, and not particularly attacking right back, to, but, you know, I think he's effortlessly fitted in at right back. I mean, would he, you know, the most tackles in the Premier League, most successful tackles. I think he probably actually looked a little bit cooked towards the end, and I think his attacking game did suffer. He was almost a bit of a straight Valencia cross towards the end. There wasn't much finesse or curl to his crosses. It was just straight all the time, and he came back and he was solid, but he did fall off a little bit. But he'd set himself a high standard, and I'm, you know, naturally the eye is always drawn to attacking players, but I think he'd be in the top three, Wan-Bissaka and you know, and probably with Rashford. You know, again, missed a lot with injury, but a lot of goals. And you know, before lockdown was, you know, oh, sorry, not lockdown, before he got injured in January, was turning into the main man, a striker United could rely on. So yeah, I think Martial, Rashford, and Wan-Bissaka would be my top three.
Right, we have got LASK. Total three here. I'm fully expecting Ighalo, Mengi, Laird, probably Lingard, Fred, possibly Dalot. Are we expecting any shocks in that, or do you expect us to progress?
I expect to progress. I think you're right. You know, Mata will be there. Romero, you know, he'll certainly... I think it's one of those, though. You'd still have a few on the bench. You'd have to put a few on the bench just to... something, you know, ridiculous happened. But yeah, I mean, if you could, it's at home. There was some doubt about whether it'd be Old Trafford. Obviously, it is Old Trafford. It's at home, no travel, 5-0 lead. Could not ask for something better. And then it gets interesting. Then it gets quite exciting. Really, there's sort of a pre-season Europa League tournament. You know, so you know, it's quite exciting. Yeah.
Does collecting that, as well as finishing third, make that our most successful season post-relics? Because when we've won things in the past, we've failed to get Champions League qualification in the league. Obviously, Mourinho won the Europa League, but he came sixth that season. Would this represent our best season, especially with where we've been in the season, post-relics, if we also lift Europa League?
I think, possibly. I think that, you know, I know... it's a bit nerdish to talk about points total. I do think United's points total was pretty low, really, to get third. But from where they came from was a huge achievement. I mean, yeah, to win only the club's sixth European trophy after all this time, and to finish in the top four. So almost, you know, to qualify for the Champions League twice. I mean, you know, obviously Mourinho's first season, a League Cup and a Europa League, was a, you know, two trophies in a season where in any era is a fantastic achievement. And also, yeah, United finished sixth, but Mourinho gambled and successfully. I think United probably would have finished a little bit higher, but he thought, you know, he put everything on winning Europa League to get Champions League. So, yeah, I mean, 2016-17... with Ibrahimovic, and Pogba's first season, and Bailly took two trophies, Champions League qualification. I don't know; it's hard to compare. I mean, I think, yeah. Since January, this is, you know, I was at the Burnley game, and that was as toxic an atmosphere and as dreadful a performance as I can remember. You know, it was turning against the board, the players, not Solskjaer. But it was
there was some.
It was club was on its knees, and you just thought Solskjaer with Pochettino free, it just looked, you know, that turnaround is, so if you take the season from January to win a European trophy and to finish third, That's fantastic. Yeah, it's difficult to compare. It could be. I'd certainly, anyone who argued it, I couldn't disagree too much. Yeah.
Right. Tell the people where they can find more of you.
I'm on Twitter and write regularly for Forbes and various other publications, 442 and The Athletic and Optus and Bleacher Report over the years. I've been freelance nearly 20 years now, so yeah, anywhere that I have me.
Right, Sam, thank you very much. Enjoyed this. Let me know in the comments who you think Player of the Year was. Do you agree with Sam? It's Tony. Do you agree with me? That's Bruno. Or have you got your own and you think it's Wan-Bissaka, Rashford? Pretty much that's got to be it, surely. Maguire, maybe? I don't know. But let me know in the comments. Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and I'll see you in the next one.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.